Hello, and welcome to the Art of Intuition podcast. My name is Susan Jane, and I believe that trusting your intuition is the best way to live your life with meaning and purpose. Each week you will hear about how you can connect, develop, and trust your intuition through interviews with other guests and my own personal experiences. Join me to understand how your intuition can guide you towards a life full of meaning and loving purpose. Hello and welcome to the Voice of Intuition podcast. I'm Susan Jane, your host for the podcast. And today we are talking about business, which is really exciting because too often business and intuition are kept aside. And we all know that we use our intuition everywhere we go. We use it in our personal life. And of course, we don't turn that off when we go into our business. But this is not about me talking about business. I have got the most amazing guest on. Now, I've just done a little bit of a research on Carolina, and her backstory is quite surprising. It's quite amazing. And I'm going to let her introduce all that to you. But in this podcast, if you're an entrepreneur, if you've got a little side hustle, if you've got a business going, this is really going to help you because this is going to help you get things done. So with no further ado, I am going to invite Carolina onto the podcast. Welcome, Carolina.
Thanks for having me, Susan. Pleasure to be here.
Oh, no, the pleasure is going to be ours, I can assure you. Now, the first thing I do is what I'd like to my listeners to get an understanding of. And I did forget to say, oh, remember to share, subscribe and like the podcast. Sorry. You know, all those things that we're meant to be doing. But the first thing I want to know is how you got from point A to point B, because your business is called, let me have a quick look, Biz in Order.
Business in Order, yeah.
Business in Order, okay. So the website is bizinorder, B-I-Z, .com. But how did you get from where you were? What made you go along that path? Because I know you've got a bit of study and a lot of other stuff happening in there.
Yeah, so it definitely was intuitively led. Like, let me just tell you that. There's at no point in my life did I think I'd be sitting here today talking about what I'm going to talk about and sharing something that for many years was a big source of shame for me, which was my disorganization. So I was highly intuitive all my life, but I was highly disorganized because I was undiagnosed ADHD until I was about in my early 30s when that happened. And so, I jokingly tell people my mother would find my keys in the freezer when she would come home from work. And that is not an exaggeration. And that happened more than once. So there was this ring of chaos. And as I grew into who I was meant to be and, you know, kind of let that intuition illuminate those steps in front of me to take next, I really started to not only come from a place of compassion for other people that are experiencing that chaos in their life, but also in really starting to master it. Before I was diagnosed, for about 10 years, I would read every single book that I could get my hands on when it came to being organized, because it was just such a big block, or I felt that it was a block in my life. Come later to understand that it was just, you know, something else that life was giving me in order to live my purpose. But at the time, I didn't understand it. So I approached it from a very academic place. Every blog that I could get a hold of, every book, every magazine at the time, because this was, you know, pre-podcast time. And so then when I did get diagnosed, because I was going back to school, and I said, you know, I really need to get my act together. I need to figure out what's wrong, because I knew there was something off and I just didn't understand. And so by the time I got that diagnosis and I was able to combine it with all of the work that I had done over those years on understanding organization, and I also did a lot of self-development work, that combination really put this on steroids. And I developed a business around helping businesses get organized, because undiagnosed mental illness or conditions, neurodiversity conditions, runs rampant in the entrepreneur community. And so I said, you know, I can't be the only one. And when I really started to do my research and put some statistics behind that, my jaw dropped with just the sheer number that actually, you know, struggle with this same thing.
So, Carolina, can you just describe a little bit for me about what it looks like when you're as an entrepreneur, or even just before you were there, what your ADHD looked like to you? Because I know with my children, or watching other children grow up, and obviously I'm quite a bit older than you, but you know, you'd see naughty kids and you'd sort of go, oh, they're just naughty kids. But what did it feel like to you? And what was it about that made, maybe somebody else can look and sort of go, oh, that's happening to me. That maybe that's what I've got. Maybe it'll help someone understand what they're going through too. So can you just run us through that a little bit?
I love that question. Thank you, Susan. So I think that the number one thing to realize is that ADHD shows up very differently in women than it does in men. So to the point that you said, oh, the naughty children, right? It usually actually doesn't show up like that for girls. Patterns for me when I was young was I was constantly volunteering for doing stuff. So the teacher wanted, you know, papers handed out, I got up, I did it. I would volunteer during recess to work in the school office so that the reception, like I was just constantly doing stuff because it got me out of my chair and it got me to be able to move around. So it's something that, you know, I don't know if it's gender stereotypes or societal expectations that condition us a little bit differently, but it does show up different for women. As I got older, you know, good luck finding anything in my room. It was a huge disaster. Like, I'm not exaggerating when I would say that my mom would sit down in tears and say, how are you going to have a family being like this? Because it was just, this absolute, my intuition worked really well. So this is the interesting part. And I'm so glad that I can talk about this in this podcast. My intuition was always there. And so I lived more by my intuition than I did by the order and regime that childhood and adolescence slowly starts to teach us, with being on time for school and things like that. Always late. I was like, I lived 2 minutes from school and I was perpetually late. So, and as I got older, you know, simple things like keeping the house neat and tidy. That's just, you know, that's a really difficult thing. I've gotten a lot better at it. And now I use it as a cue to know that there's something off in my life when I see it get to a certain point. But I think also some other things when I reflect back, you know, that kind of stereotype of girls are neat and tidy and orderly, and that I just never fit that at all. I was about 18 and I was losing part-time job opportunities, and I was just disappointing people left, right, and center because I'd forget appointments or I'd be late. And the anxiety that would cause was huge in me. So that's when I really said, I need to figure this out.
Right. Okay. Look, I'm sorry. I'm reflecting back on my life too. Well,
this happens all the time when I talk about this. So.
Yeah, because I'm reflecting back thinking, well, when I was at high school, I had 3 part-time jobs. And I've always had 2 or 3 part-time jobs.
Same here.
Yeah.
Same here.
I mean, even now I run my own business, run a podcast, and podcasts, I can assure you that, well, you know, they do take up a lot of time and you don't get paid for it, but I love doing it. And that's part of my introverted personality too, because I can be me in a podcast.
In the safety of a screen.
In the room, no one's around. So when you were saying the different things like that, I'm thinking, okay, when you're offering to help, it's about getting, like you said, it's about getting out of your seat. It's about not being happy to sit in one space or you know, being constantly moving or entertained or doing something different. And I was sort of reflecting back because as a teenager, I had a really disgusting bedroom, you know, like really shocking. And yet I don't live like that anymore. And I haven't for a long, long time. Once I did have kids, I did do that side of it. But then I start to question, well, am I keeping a really clean house because it's getting me off the seat and getting me moving too? So it's really funny how you've put that forward. And I'm really glad I asked that question because it can be almost a fine line, can't it?
Well, and what you see when you enter adulthood for women with ADHD is it does shift a bit because it sounds like your children really motivated you to kind of step into that next stage of adulthood, right? Yeah. Women with ADHD, that is not enough to, it's not that it's not enough to motivate them. That area is riddled with guilt and with shame because no matter how much they want to, they're just incapable of it. And so all these societal expectations and, you know, just kind of like seeing your kids just in this disaster. And what ends up happening, actually, a lot of books have coined it the lost generation, because these women end up being diagnosed with anxiety or depression, but it's actually a misdiagnosis. The anxiety or the depression comes in because they can't keep up with what a normal person would be considered capable of keeping up with. And so, you know, that anxiety and depression ends up being a secondary effect of just not really knowing what's going on.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. This is really a very good understanding of what's going on and why we could be struggling in certain areas. It makes complete sense.
Then you have high creativity combined with that. So you have someone that's a kind of a pig pen type of like Charlie Brown, that kind of little disaster of the little kid that drags his blanket around. But then you have, at the same time, you have people that are highly creative, highly motivated, holding three jobs. That's it. I held three jobs in high school. I currently run three separate businesses. So it's a very interesting snapshot that you get of these people that just doesn't seem to fit what we're used to seeing.
Yes, yeah. And I know that people sort of say to me, well, how do you fit it all in? And I don't quite know. You just do.
We'll talk about that after. Okay,
cool. Yeah, that's definitely it. And the other aspect too is I find that me personally, I get bored. I shouldn't say I get bored because I never ever get bored. I don't want to get bored. So
you only do things that you're passionate about.
Yeah. So I do.
And that light you up. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's where the intuition comes in so much too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Oh, wow. That's really cool. All right. So we've got a bit of an understanding now of the problem or the situation or where we are. So we're an entrepreneur. We've got a business. We've got a side hustle. We've got this happening. Where do we go from there? If we've got so much going, and I know there's times there when I feel really overwhelmed with what needs to be done. And you'll have somebody sort of turn around and say to you, oh, well, why don't you just put more posts on social media? And you sort of feel like flipping the bird at them, you know, because you're full already and you just don't know where you're going and what you're doing, and you get this real overwhelm. So how do we step through that, Carolina?
So part of this, and I find that this is what really kind of separates me from other people in the market that might be like productivity productivity specialists or like efficiency experts and things of that nature. I really feel that this process starts from within. And it starts from you really knowing yourself and really being honest with yourself, number one. Because at the end of the day, I can devise the most perfect system in the world. But if that system doesn't meet to the way that you work, that's not a perfect system. You are not to adjust to a system. You are to create a system around how you work. So I'll give you an example. So when I got my diagnosis, and you know, I've been diagnosed now 10 years, and it's still of value today what came up in that diagnosis. So one of the things that they said, and it sounds counterintuitive, but just stay with me for a bit. So they said that based on how I tested and my learning styles and my information processing style, I could not color code because I would get caught up in the details of getting the colors right and the shading right and all of that stuff. And I would miss the point of why I was color coding. So it was actually advised, stay clear of any colors. When you go and you look at these organizing shows, and I know there's a fantastic famous organizer in Australia, world renowned, he's Oprah's organizer. When you see these shows and you read these blogs, a lot of them talk about color coding. And then these people say, oh, that's the system for me. I'm going to try it. And then the shame and the guilt comes in again, because again, it's another system that you have not been able to maintain, another system that has failed you. So it really is, it starts to recognize, you know, are you somebody, for example, that if we look at your desktop, does it have 1,000 folders on it? And it can be your literal desktop or it can be your computer desktop. Is everything there because you know that it's there? You know exactly where it is. Someone else looks at it and kind of cringes, but you're like, I know exactly where everything is. Or are you somebody that you need to put stuff away? Just hidden away, right? This is part of your organizing style, but it's also part of recognizing kind of what's important to you. I speak a lot about that in my organized business bootcamp. It, you know, part of being an organized business is recognizing what you're really crappy at and being really honest about that, because that's the first thing that you need to get help with, period. And like full stop. I jokingly say this all the time. Numbers are not my thing. They are absolutely not my thing. I know when you owe me money and that's about it. So why would I do my own books? It just doesn't make sense. The stress that it would have caused me, the errors that I'm probably going to make, it's just, you know, really kind of hone in on what are you good at and what are you not good at and start from there.
Yeah, I was just about to say that when you were talking about it before. How can we see what is going on with our business? How do we know those dips, those problem areas? And I know I do it with a couple of business mentors I work with. They're business mentors, but we just bounce each other's ideas off of each other, and we both sort of work in the same environment. But she'll get stuck into the details, and she'll just get lost in creating these beautiful images. And then
8 hours later,
I did it yesterday. I got onto Facebook because of the changes on Facebook. Oh, 3 hours. And I still didn't achieve what it was I was trying to achieve, because again, it's another learning curve. And I know I am one of these people. I love learning. So nothing's sort of a challenge for me. It's like, I'm going to jump on and I'm going to learn it. So the frustration that came with Facebook was really, it takes you sort of over the top. So what you're saying is that we're in an entrepreneurial business. We're in a business of any sort. We've got to first look at our, what would you call them? Not highs and lows, but more about our style. Is that what
you would say? So one of the first things that I tell people is create a time log. Very simple. There's no magic to this. You can use an app, you know, you can use the notes app on your phone. You can just scribble on a sticky note on your desk. If you can do it for 2 weeks, that's ideal. I rarely get clients that do it for 2 weeks. It's usually about a week. very point form. You know, I spent half an hour in emails in the morning. I had a business meeting for an hour. I build a project for 2 hours, things like that. Like, I don't need much detail. We just need to know kind of where, what it was that you were doing. That's going to give us an extremely accurate snapshot of how you're spending your time. And if that's how you want to spend your time, because as an entrepreneur, the hats never stop. We're constantly going. There's constantly things to do. That to-do list never gets smaller. No. So we can get very accustomed, and especially if you have ADHD, you can get very accustomed to, or even anxiety actually, of just going for the sake of going, being in motion instead of being productive and effective.
Yes.
And so that gives us a snapshot. So if you're looking at that and you're debating, you're like, am I ready to outsource? Am I ready to get help with something? And you realize that you're spending 4 hours a day on email. Okay. That's 4 hours a day. That's 5 days a week. So right there, that's 20 hours. That's not including weekends. And we're an entrepreneur, so we're going to check on weekends too, right? But if we're doing a very conservative estimate, we've done what? So that's 20 hours. So that's 80 hours, 80 hours, 80 a month on email. You don't think that you could use some help with that? That we could, you could use maybe a triage system so that at least someone is giving you the opportunity to maybe only work an hour and a half on that email instead, right? So that's a very, it's just a very accurate picture of what's going on. And then we can start to work from there.
Oh, you won't believe what I've done. And I didn't even know this, but I did that just, how long have I been running? 2 weeks. I had a,
congratulations.
And I thought exactly the same. How much time am I putting into the business? How much time is going into the podcast? How much time is going on my job? I've even got personal time in there and volunteer time. This is how nerdy I am. I've got it all there and it all adds up, and I can see my percentages of how much time I'm being productive, how much time I'm bringing in actual money, working on the finances coming in, and how much time I'm working on the business in different areas.
Absolutely.
Because like I said, I'm a little bit nerdy.
I love it. I love it. You're talking my language.
So my thoughts were the same. Am I being productive enough? Am I getting caught up in these pretty pictures on Canva? You know,
or how much is it costing you when you're looking at it from the money perspective? So, okay, let's say you have an abundance of time, because as entrepreneurs, when you first start out, or if it's a little side hustle, you might have more time than you have clients. Right.
Yeah.
So you're like, okay, I can do that. But when you, so, you know, I had this debate and I use this tool still to this day when I'm kind of fallen off my wagon of feeling productive. I'm like, time log. I go right back to it to see, okay, what's going on? Where, you know, what's the snapshot? But I used it because going back to what I was saying about gender roles and ADHD, because I struggle so much with the house, it wasn't until I did that to bring on a cleaning lady. And I wish she's back. She hasn't come back yet from COVID. I'm praying and counting the days until that happens again. But it wasn't until I saw it in black and white, because it was taking me almost a full day when I added up all of the things that I had to do. And I'm like, I could be making money. And when I'm making money, it doesn't cost me a full day of what I make to bring in somebody to do this. This is dumb. Why am I doing this to myself? And why am I letting outside expectations make the decisions of what a smart on the ball businesswoman would do instead?
Absolutely. Oops, sorry, I forgot to press the button. I'm sitting away chatting and listening. That's exactly right, isn't it? It's understanding those timelines and those timeframes. So you're saying to do up a little bit of a time frame and get an understanding of what you're doing and how you're doing it. I know with mine, I'm doing it because I'm going away. I needed to schedule a lot of stuff in and I wanted to make sure I had it all there. So I am spending more time on the podcast at the moment than I would like to, but I need to because of going forward.
That's different, right? Because you have an end goal. There's a reason for that. If you're feeling this in your regular time, then, you know, definitely it's something to consider.
Yes. And it's something that when I look at it and because I hope to do it for quite some time. And when I look back on it, I can see then what the areas are and where I'm going with it. So I just find it fascinating. I find it fascinating what we spend time on and what we're doing with our lives. And time's been a very, very big thing for me. So connecting with my intuition and making sure I'm going along the right lines instead of pushing back. And this really resonates with what you were saying. There was times, like I was talking about the podcast, Facebook stuff. There's times there when I'm pushing back when I shouldn't be pushing back. I should be going, let somebody else do it, you know?
And that's your intuition, right? It's just,
this isn't. And it's like, I'm getting grumpy and shitty and carrying on. Absolutely. And it's my intuition going, you shouldn't be there, girl. Get out of it.
Yeah. But you know what? I think that business has been dominated so long by that patriarchal male energy, and that it is just such a different energy than how women work. So I know for years I was guilty of running my business from that energy and that place, and I was just constantly spinning my wheels. And the minute that I really started to embrace the feminine aspect of that and the collaborative nature, like this is podcasts, social media. That's a very feminine way of doing business, collaboration, groups, sharing, contributing, right? So, you know, I know that when I started to really embrace that, my business, it was night and day. My business just blossomed in comparison because I was just constantly hitting my head in thinking, well, this is how business is done, right? And these are the smart rules of how you chase a sale or how you follow up with a client or the clients that you take on, right? And you know, that's been a very, very empowering stance. And I'm so passionate of talking about intuitive strategy. And I call it hashtag business enlightened, because I think that it's a great way that it is possible to marry these two and live in alignment with our values and our intuition while still being profitable and making money and changing the world and having a really big impact.
Yes, absolutely. I totally agree with you. And I'm lucky and you would be lucky too, in the circles that you're with, in the podcast that you're in, that the people are more heart-centered. It's more heart-driven work. It's more heart-driven businesses, which is really lovely. I remember, you know, like I would have somebody would say to me, well, you know, are you doing this and are you doing that with the business? And I sort of go, it just doesn't feel right. Yeah. I know that's how you run your business and that's how you're supposed to run the business, but it doesn't feel right for me. And I had somebody else say, oh, you need to do your high-end coaching, you know, program and rah, rah, rah. And I went, but it just doesn't feel right. And yet I've got it all there. And the funny thing is, this, you know, my Trust Mastery program is coming through, but I'm not ready to put it out there yet because I want to create that nurturing group, that nurturing environment, and then sort of go, look, guys, if you want to, I've got it here. If you don't, you know, so be it. I can't do that hard sell. It just doesn't feel right to me. So I know exactly what you're saying. And the thing is, because the men or the patriarch society turn around and go, well, that's how you've got to do it, you sort of feel like, I know. I think they know now. But at a lot of times there, you know, you feel like that's what you're supposed to. I do Google
it, guilt and shame. Guilt and shame are huge in business, right? Yeah.
Absolutely. I do digital marketing. That's one of my jobs is digital marketer. And this is how you do it. And this is what you're supposed to do. And I'm going, yeah, okay, well, I'll do that for the clients if that's what you're getting paid. You know, I'm getting paid to do. But you know what? For me, I'm not doing it that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it my way. Yeah. You know, and it is so very, very different. All right. So we've got an understanding of how it feels. Excuse me. And you were talking about how we can step forward in it now. So we're sitting there in this area. We've got an understanding that, okay, I'm not good at that. I need to allocate that and stick with what I am good at. What's my next step then going forward?
So I want to just rewind a bit because I know little side hustle businesses out there are going to say, Carolina, I don't always have the money. I don't always have the resources to outsource. So first off is, if there's a part of your business that's on fire, and for me, my bookkeeping was on fire, there was just, I had to quickly recognize that there was going to be no business if I didn't take that under control. And getting that under control meant going to someplace else. Still know what's going on, but someone else is doing it. Number one. Number two, you want to know enough about it so that when you delegate, you're not at the mercy of whoever it is that you're delegating. Right. That Lord, I think that's very, very important. It's a very high level, high cursory place. But like I said, numbers are not my thing. And so for me, I said, okay, I have to know enough to quell this anxiety, because as people that are listening to this podcast, you're all about intuition, and I am too. We know that anxiety will block our intuition. We will not receive it. It's always there, but we simply will not interpret accurately because there's this static going on. There's this thing that's kind of bubbling up and stepping in front of it. So being able to quell those feelings of fear and not coming from a place of fear when you're making these decisions is very important. And that's part of what I developed with the Organized Business Bootcamp is it's a self-study, self-run program for the new or DIY side hustle entrepreneur where you don't have all this money to go into this big coaching program. I really developed it so that, because I get people that want to work with me and they're like, they were just starting out. They're like, I can't exactly afford, if I'm going to go outsource my bookkeeping, I can't afford to bring you on and kind of help me develop this. So I said, okay, what can I come up with that is going to give some of this peace? Because for me, peace is the cornerstone of how I choose to live my life and work. And that's been a decision that I made a while back. There's no amount of money that is going to rob me of my peace. It's not going to happen anymore. That's the food. My intuition and peace is what I choose to step forward with. And so I really developed the program with the intention of providing peace and understanding in 9 different areas of any service-based business that they need to have when it comes to the back-end operations. So whether it's finances, whether it's project management, whether it's managing your leads, whether it's the customer experience, the program is developed so that you at least have enough knowledge or can leverage technology and bring in tools to help you do it a little bit less painful. Because again, when you approach anything from fear, and I know it sounds, I know you probably wanted a productivity expert here, but I really love combining business and feelings because I don't think that these things live separate in our lives. They're part and parcel of the whole game.
Yes. And that was where my next question was heading off to.
Okay. The intuition. My intuition told me.
All right. So we've got that understanding. We know that we can, you know, there's steps that we can use to go forward. How are we connecting that with our intuition? Like, what are the signs in those areas that we know that the intuition is, your intuition is kicking in and it's sort of guiding you to where you need to go? I don't know what the question is. The question will be, how are we using or uniting our intuition with our business strategy?
It's there. It's already there. So if you started to be in tune with it, it's showing up there. I think that we look at intuition and business as something new, but I don't think it is new. No. You know, if we read the biographies of these titans of industry, all of them were like gifted with business savvy. No, they were just tuned in and their guides were talking to them and they were just very clear on what the signs were in their life. And, you know, maybe it's their guides, maybe it's their ancestors, whatever it is that fits your belief system, but that guiding force was always there. And so what I say to people is, you know, you want to ground yourself in traditional business wisdom, but allow it to be guided by the intuition. So one example is when you come across a nightmare client, right? Where the money looks great. You're like, I can do this. The client wants to buy. And yet there's something that you're like, this doesn't feel right. You know, there's something holding you back. That is the perfect example of leading with intuition and kind of being in a more heartfelt energy, because that's going to, I can guarantee you, I will put money on it that that client is not going to be worth the money that you charge them, because it is going to be a headache of some sort. And I think when you lead from an intuitive strategy perspective in business, you have to be okay with leaving money on the table. And that is something that a lot of business people are simply not comfortable with, right? Because at the end of the day, it's about making money. And so, you know, and money is a topic unto itself with lots of different tendrils that come through it and feelings associated with it. But I think that that's the premise, that you are not leading from a place of finances, even though you, the end goal is to make money, but you're leading from a place of alignment.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, I love those words. They were there. That's really cool. And you do have those times where you sort of think it just doesn't feel right. Funnily enough, the ones that doesn't feel right tend to come through a lot stronger than the ones that feel right. Because when you're doing it, you just do it. And all of a sudden all the little ducks line up and everything. Oh, well, this is cool. Let's keep going. But when something doesn't feel right, that's when you really need to take check on it and really have another look at it. And I think there's been times in my life and in my business and that, and you've sort of gone, it doesn't feel right. And I've sat with it. I've meditated with it. I've sat with it to get an understanding. And times I've gone, no. Other times I've asked people, you know, what do you think? What would you do? You know, get a bit of feedback from someone else. And then in that sort of situation, there's times where I've gone, yes, and not really liked the answer, the results. And
then that's the thing with intuition, right? You don't always like the answer and you don't always know why.
Yeah. And then there's other times when I have gone ahead with it and it's been okay, you know, so it hasn't been too bad. But it's really, it's easy to look back in retrospect. Hindsight's such a wonderful thing. But when you're living it and, you know, you've got to get food on the table, someone's offering you money, and it sort of doesn't feel right. Well, it is really challenging. It is really challenging.
You're conflicted, right?
Yeah.
You're really, it's a battle between, you know, this other world that we know that exists and that permeates through us, and the reality of taxes.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Yeah. But I guess when the other aspect we look at is, and this is what I started to do, or this is what I got better at doing, I should say, is when it didn't feel right, I would want a little bit more information. And if it still didn't feel right, instead of dwelling on it, I would start to go, okay, we'll bring something that does feel right, bring something on. And when I started to focus on more of a positive possibility or something that was more in line, it allowed me to let go of the other one easier.
Yeah.
Because then I had that faith that something else was coming through and it's going to be there and I'm going to be supported. Really, that the way you've explained that is really, really clear. It's really, very, very well done. Okay, I wanted to ask, there was something else I wanted to ask you about and I can't remember what it was.
Can I share a little bit more
about it? Oh, yes, please, because I've run out of questions.
Okay. Yeah. Because I think it's really important, because as spiritual people that live their life guided through intuition, it can be a bit of a challenge in business, because I consider it intuition to be both an active and a passive experience, right? So when in business, you engage equally, I think, with those two aspects of it. And, you know, a couple of tips that I've gotten that have been, and this one wasn't for me, someone else in from my own podcast shared this. And I said, that is the I want to tattoo that on my arm because that is something that I need to remember every day. And it was like, if you hear it three times, if that niggling, nagging, three times, that's the sign regardless, right?
Yep.
Instead of that just kind of random, no, it's not the way to go. And then, you know, you never, you just act impulsively on that. But I think also what happens is that when it's a no, it ends up being, it's a little, like you were saying, it's a little, not clearer, but maybe stronger than the yes. The yeses or the, this is the direction to take, they're whispers. It's a very gentle yet, I don't want to say solid because it's not solid, but there's this gentle piece to the nudge, right? Yeah. And so you need to be willing to be okay to live, you know, responding to that gentle nudge. And what I found is, as someone who runs three businesses, and you're probably going to understand when I say this, the more you follow the nudges, the more that you get done. So let's look at it from a productivity perspective. You end up working in flow. And when you're working in flow, something that might take somebody 3 days to do, you're accomplishing in 3 hours, right? Yeah. And so people say, how do you do it? How do you juggle three businesses that are all making money? One of my businesses, I manage a team, and, you know, and it's like, it's flow. That is the only way that I can get that done. And it is the only way that you are keeping your sanity, right? And it's not meant to make sense. If you take traditional business logic, or if you take, you know, very linear way of thinking, it doesn't make sense. But when you're in flow, you collapse time or you increase time. And it just ends up, you know, the results are magical almost.
Yes, I totally agree. And I tend to run my businesses in the fact that, okay, I don't feel like doing this today. I've got set things that I need to do. Obviously, like with the podcast, I have them all organized. But there's sort of times there where I might finish this podcast and then sort of go, well, I wanted to get this and this and this done, but you know what? I don't feel like it. I'm going to go and do this. And I just start to do something else. It's still in line with the business, but it might be else. Yeah. And you start to change it and sort of learn to understand how you're feeling and where you need to go. And we still have tasks that we've got to tick off.
Yeah.
But you can, you know, if you give yourself the week to do it, not the day or the hour.
It's that flexibility, intuition, yes. You know, everything. Yeah. If you live an intuitive life, you know that you plan and God laughs. Right. There is no, it's not based on your plan. And so I very much resonate with what you said. For me, every morning I start off with, I'm anywhere between half an hour to 45 minutes in prayer and meditation. And I get my messages for the day. And in those messages, in through my prayer and meditation, it's like, this is what you're going to work on. Right. And does it always fit my schedule? No, you know, but I just know that I am going to be, what I'm going to create by following those instructions is going to be so much more powerful and so much more impactful and of the quality and caliber that I want to be known for than something that I'm forcing myself to produce that just, there's no comparison.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. I still have quite a bit of structure around mine, but I have flexibility in that structure as well. So if it doesn't get done, it gets done next week. So I'm still a box ticker, but I've learned to really go with the flow in where and when the boxes get ticked. And I mean, I only have the box ticking because I need to make sure jobs get done.
I'm still a box ticker. You have to be with all those businesses. Yeah. I do a weekly list versus a daily list.
Yes.
Right. Another tip that I can give other people is, and it's actually This is in the boot camp. It's called a triage list. And a triage list is, it aligns, you know, what it is that you need to get done, what your values are, and what the goals are, whether it's in your business or in your life. And then your to-do list is filtered through that triage list. So if you're doing, you know, let's say you're starting a business, you're single, you don't have a family, you don't have a lot of responsibility, you're number one, and you're listening to this podcast, your number one priority, aside from your intuition, might be making money in that business, right? So any money generating activities are going to get a one in that, are going to be that green light.
Yeah.
You know, anything that is going to make you money, but not immediately, or somebody's going to be upset if you don't eventually get it done, that's going to go number two or be a yellow light. And then number three is going to be something that eventually you have to get it done, or, you know, something like taxes. You don't have to get your tax. Well, I don't know how it is in Australia, but here you don't have to get your taxes done in January. Our deadline is April, right? So you might not be putting taxes in the green light box in January. You might be doing it in mid-April, right? So I recommend that triage list, because that's going to be very clear as to what is the immediate needs that get to be done, that need to be done. And then you're able to also wiggle your intuition in there as well.
Yes. Yeah. And what I find too is like exactly what you've said, and those ones that are the higher priority ones, this is how I work, and I'm not really, when I actually think about it and I go, okay, these are the high priorities, like you said, these ones are, and these ones. And I do that sort of mentally. But as soon as I've done that, it's almost like the intuition goes, okay, she wants to do that first. Here, this is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. This is how you do it. And it's almost like you're, because when I talk about intuition, the first thing you need to do is ask. And when I'm starting to prioritize, I'm asking, you know, I'm asking for that guidance.
Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. An example of that for me in business, I want to tie it back to business, because I know you started off as the title. Yeah. And so I want to honor that for your listeners. Business,
yeah.
But for me, I would always struggle with hiring. That was just not a zone of genius. And I knew I wanted to grow one particular business where we had a team and the need was growing, and I was just not great at it, until I finally said, well, why am I not applying what I know about my intuition here? And so as soon as I started, so for me in my own practice, my ancestors are very important, as much as my guides are, as much as prayer is. So I asked my ancestors and I said, I want you to send me the right team. I want you to send me the right people. And like clockwork, the people that they were putting in front of me, it was who I needed. And so I no longer freak out about my, you know, because at one point I was playing small in my business and I was holding back on expanding because I was just like, I just can't seem to get this piece right. And when I really started asking for that guidance and to send me the right people, the ideal people that not only can do the work, but fit into my philosophy, because I can get, you know, I work with a lot of technology. I love technology. I call it my love language. But I need somebody that has a heart and can do technology. I don't want someone that's just can speak computer and that's it, because that just doesn't match with my business enlightenment philosophy of really, you know, being passionate and bringing peace into people's lives and just, you know, all the mission, vision, and values that business has there. And so I really needed a bit of a unicorn. And so I just now rely on my helpers, and I'm like, you need to send me a person that does this.
Yes. Oh, I love that. So,
and I love them for doing it. Thank you guys.
yeah, exactly. And what you're doing is you're asking, and that's one of the things that I've always said, you've got to ask. If you're not asking, you're not open.
Yeah.
But we are getting low on time now. Have you got one last little tip that you'd like to share before we go on? And remember, guys, that if you go to the website, Biz In Order, so it's B-I-Z, inorder.com, you'll be able to see the bootcamp and everything on there. Yes?
Yeah, and I do offer an initial free 30-minute consultation. I'm very honest in the consultation, where it's like, listen, you don't need me. bringing this little tool here and there, and you're going to see a huge difference in what you do. So definitely, if there are people that are kind of like, I don't know if I can afford the help, take it. I don't believe in pressure sales. I don't believe in anyone forcing themselves to, or forcing anyone to work with me. I want to work with people that want to work with me. End of story. So it's very no pressure that way. I think the last tidbit really is, you know, honor how you work. So, and this kind of ties back a bit to the ADHD. So I'm in my 40s now, so I don't have the sleeping habits that I used to have. You know, my body has kind of told me that we're not allowed to work that way anymore. But, you know, ADHDs, they're notorious night owls, and so are a lot of business owners. So, you know, a lot of people read that 5 a.m. club book, and they're trying desperately to fit into these traditional kind of ways of working, and it doesn't suit them, and they feel not great, and, you know, they're less productive. We see this in millennials too, and kind of the great resignation and the start times that really work better for them. So honor those natural rhythms and cycles that we all have. And I would even say, I business plan around those cycles for myself. So this time, so for North American summer, so July and August, they are huge, huge months of transformation personally for me. They have been my entire life. So I do a lot of business transformation during that time as well, because I know that there's going to be personal upheaval. And so we look at systems during that time. We look at new projects, things that we wish to create, you know, develop timelines for that. I think it's something that if you want to be in flow, you got to honor not only the messages that your intuition are giving, but that your body's giving you too.
Absolutely. Oh, thank you so much, Carolina. That was really, really enjoyable. I got a lot out of it too. A lot of aha moments, and then a lot of, okay, I think I'm doing things right. Woohoo! But please, yeah, jump on and have a look at Carolina's website, which is bizinorder.com.
Correct.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Susan. This was lovely.
Oh, I loved it. Okay, we're going to finish off there. So, guys, jump on. That was really interesting, especially getting a bit more of an understanding of ADHD, especially in women and if you're an entrepreneur. So we're looking at all those aspects, and we know there's always kids to look after, or there's always other things, you know, dinners to make and stuff like that I don't like doing. I mean, I don't mind looking after kids, but I don't like doing dinners. And you sort of feel like you've been put into that place. But you don't have to with your business. Follow your intuition. Get that understanding. Give Carolina a call, or, you know, you get that free 30-minute. Have a look. She'll have a look, and she's honest and she's open, and she'll give you that the right guidance that you need. So, yeah, jump on that one. Now, remember to subscribe, like, or share the podcast. Get it out there. We had a few big downloads recently, and it's really going great. And so thank you so much. And for those new listeners, I hope you really enjoyed it. And for the older listeners, I hope you really enjoyed it too, because you're still coming back. So have a great, great week, and we'll catch you next week. Okay, bye for now.